I was saying before that writing about machinery was quite an aim, and I think this this really linked up with these Russian films. I remember that one film I saw, which I'm sure no one else in the world has ever seen, was called Turksib. I saw it in Berlin in about 1932, and it was about the opening of the Trans-Siberian Railway. And it had all this splendid imagery of machines and trains rushing across landscapes and white clouds and waving corn and things. And I think I wrote this poem called The Express, really about this film. It also had a kind of background of very sort of jazzy music, like, you know, clanking piston rods and the rhythm of wheels going over gaps between lines. But as a matter of fact, I've placed this at Oxford, really. I mean, the actual place I'm thinking of is a train leaving Oxford in England, and because there's the reason why I can track it to Oxford is because there's a cemetery immediately outside Oxford railway station. And this comes into the poem somehow, as you'll see. As a matter of fact, this poem's been written about, quite analysed quite a lot by people. And this can be very confusing to one, because people analyse the poem and they say it's about something, and you think this is absolute rubbish. And then you start thinking, well, perhaps it is about that, after all. And I think, as a matter of fact, Carl Shapiro wrote a long analysis of this poem, and he said it was about a revolution, and the train was, and the engine, the train, the express, was meant to be a country proceeding towards a revolution. And I thought this is rubbish. And then really, when I thought about it and connected it with all these Russian movies I've been seeing, and the Trans-Siberian Railway and everything, it seems quite possible, quite likely, really. And especially as the word manifesto is introduced into the first line. After the first powerful, plain manifesto, the black statement of pistons, without more fuss, but gliding like a queen, she leaves the station. Without bowing and with restrained unconcern, she passes the houses which humbly crowd outside, the gasworks, and at last the heavy page of death printed by gravestones in the cemetery. Beyond the town there lies the open country, where, gathering speed, she acquires mystery, the luminous self-possession of ships on ocean. It is now she begins to sing, at first quite low, then loud, and at last with a jazzy madness, the song of her whistle screaming at curves, of deafening tunnels, breaks, innumerable bolts, and always light, aerial underneath, retreats the elate meter of her wheels. Steaming through metal landscape on her lines, she plunges new eras of white happiness, where speed throws up strange shapes, broad curves and parallels clean like trajectories of guns. At last, further than Edinburgh or Rome, beyond the crest of the world, she reaches night, where only a low streamline brightness of phosphorus on the tossing hills is white. Ah, like a comet through flame, she moves entranced, wrapped in her music, no bird song, no nor bough breaking with honey buds shall ever equal. I notice in the in the newspaper report, which appeared in the Arizona Star, if that's what it's called. Is it called that? But anyhow, very nice article. But it said something about the pylon poets, that the poets of the 1930s, that's to say, Auden and Day Lewis and Louis MacNeice and myself, were often referred to as the pylon poets. And this is because we wrote poems about machinery.